You're now listening to Real Estate Journeys with Matthew Baltzell.
What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Matty B, a.k.a. Matthew Baltzell, and welcome back to Real Estate Journeys, the exclusive podcast for new real estate investors looking to grow their brand and their business. So, as you guys know, we like to interview people from all different industries and across the board. And today's guest we have on is Todd Dexheimer. Todd is the host of Pillars of Wealth Creation, a real estate coach and multifamily investor. He's a full-time investor that has done over 150 rehabs, flips, and currently owns 350 apartment units in four states. In 2008, he started investing against the grain when everyone was yelling, "Get out!" And by 2010, at the ripe age of 28, he was able to retire from his job as a high school teacher and concentrate on real estate full-time. With that said, Todd, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I'm glad to have you here. So it says that you were a old high school teacher. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about old. I was young, but yeah. I was a high school
former.
Right. I was a high school industrial technology teacher. So I was teaching like wood shop and, you know, metals and stuff like that.
Oh, very cool. That was one
architecture, all kinds of stuff.
Cool. And so at what point when you were doing this, did you start to realize that you wanted to kind of dabble into real estate?
Well, when I was teaching very early on, I realized that I wasn't going to probably keep on teaching for the rest of my career. It was within the first year. So it was then trying to figure, okay, what am I going to do? I thought about going back to school, maybe becoming a doctor or who knows what. And while I was in the transition between school and teaching, I was substitute teaching. I was reading a lot of entrepreneurial type books. I was reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad and different books like that. And that kind of interested me. So I started reading some real estate books, some books that I actually picked up while I was substitute teaching, but never got to. And that really intrigued me. So that's kind of a couple years in, probably. I think it was about 2 years in, I started really reading these real estate books and going, wow, that maybe sounds like something I could do. Mm.
And so what was your first deal?
Yeah, so first deal was back in 2008. And it was actually, I did three deals all kind of at once. I don't remember which one I bought first. They're all bought within probably a month of each other or less. Mm-hmm. So I bought a single family home to live in and kind of rehab while we were living in it. What do they call that? House hacking now? Yeah. There's a fancy term. It wasn't a fancy term. We didn't have fancy terms back in 2008. So it was a foreclosure. My wife and I did the old FHA 203K loan and renovated. And then we also bought a single family home for rental. And bought a single family home to flip. So all three of those, like right at the same time. The flip we used, I actually partnered with the guy and we brought in a third party money into that, just a private investor. And then the rental we used in our single family home that we lived in, we used like every last penny we had in our bank accounts to get that deal done. So it was quite the journey. To start, three properties all at once, and I was pretty much the one pounding the hammer.
So you're reading these books, you've done these three deals, and then did you start growing your portfolio from there? Did you back off the pedal, or what progressed from there?
Yeah, first let me say when I started like getting interested in real estate, though, where I actually bought my first deal was well over a year. So it wasn't like immediate. It took me a while, but once I bought that first deal, our first three deals, I was all in. So I started buying more rental properties. That's what I wanted. My goal was to build a rental portfolio of 1,000 units and just do that. And all I really knew was single families or duplexes and stuff like that. I didn't really fathom being able to buy a big apartment complex or anything like that. But so that's what I was doing. Quickly, I ran out of both money and ability to buy, because at the time you could only put four loans in your personal name. And so I ran out of that. So then I started to do more flipping and started, then that's where you, at the beginning, you said I'd done about 150 flips. That's where that kind of came in. I started flipping in order to then increase my business and to continue doing real estate. So I guess I never really slowed down. I only sped up and tried to figure out how to continue to buy. And I wanted to really figure out how to continue to buy more rental properties. And I eventually did. I eventually figured out I could get loans from local banks and put them in an LLC and get a basically a commercial loan on a single family or a duplex, which nobody thought you could do, or nobody I talked to, everybody said you can't, like there's no possible way. So it took me a while to figure it out, but I finally did. And it was able to grow like that.
So you were taking out commercial loans to do fix and flips?
Yes, that too. Yeah. Well, yeah. So I was taking commercial loans to do fix and flips, but I was taking commercial loans to buy rentals. Okay. You know, so I would buy a rental. Typically we'd buy it with cash, buy a foreclosed property, renovate it, and then get a loan on it and get a loan through a local bank with a, you know, commercial style loan. So 25 year amortization, you know, 5 year balloon, that type of loan. And was able to then build my portfolio to about, at one time I had probably about 75, 80, single or 1 to 4 family properties.
Mm-hmm. And then do you still have those today?
I've got a handful of them still. I've probably got about, right around 45, 50.
Okay. Those. Are those all in the same market?
All but, so I've got a dozen in Milwaukee. The rest of them are in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
Minneapolis area.
And then now you're focusing on scaling up to multifamily. Is that correct?
Yeah. So right now that's my focus. So I transitioned to kind of the smaller multifamily. First, I was buying the 10 units, the 20 units, those types of buildings. Did a few of those and then decided, you know what, I'm going to jump up and try some larger properties. So I've closed on several, you know, 100 plus unit buildings now. That's my main focus, is just value add. I'm doing those through syndication. I've always been raising money, so syndication came pretty naturally. So yeah, right now I've got about 550 units under management.
Very cool. And so can you talk to me a little bit about making the leap from single family residence, fix and flips, to going into larger multifamily deals? Were you apprehensive at first? Like, what would you say? Why did you take so long to go into multifamily?
Yeah, that's a very good question. One I wish I really knew the entire answer to, but I think it was just that. Honestly, I had to go through that paradigm shift. You know, who owns large multifamily? I just didn't think a person like me who could own large multifamily. You had to be a multi-millionaire to buy something like that, right? You had to be uber rich, and that just wasn't me. So I could picture buying a 20 unit building or a 10 unit building, but I couldn't picture buying a 200 or 300 unit building. So I think it, first of all, it had to be this big paradigm shift in order to really understand it. Second of all, I was so busy in the 1 to 4 family business that I was doing. I was so busy into the fix and flips that took up all of my time, and also building my small rental portfolio. So I think that was the other thing, is I was just focused on this narrow path and really ultimately away from what my real goal was, which was to build a large rental portfolio. Like I said, when I was 28, I wanted 1,000 units. By the time I was 38, which I could still get there, but I didn't start where I should have started, or I didn't go there fast enough, I should say. So yeah, just a lot of hesitation, needed that paradigm shift and really just limiting beliefs.
When, so 2008, what year did you, I would say, start getting, let's say, 20 plus units? What year was that?
Honestly, before I really got into 20 plus units, I did purchase like a 15 unit back in, I don't know, 2012 or so, but I was still really in the smaller stuff then. Finally, I transitioned out of it. My business partner, I had a business partner in the fix and flips. Him and I split, and I really just took a look at what I was doing and my portfolio and decided I'm going to shift in the apartments. So I think the first or the next apartment that I bought, like that 20 unit size, was in 2015, mm-hmm. I believe. Maybe even early part of 2016.
So people that are listening to this and are maybe in a similar situation as yourself a couple of years back, when you made that mindset shift to go larger, were you educating yourself differently? Did you have a different mentorship? Did you surround yourself with different individuals? What helped you transition from thinking more small, I'll say small-minded, or switching from that to multifamily?
So a couple things. I don't know that I necessarily was reading anything differently. I had always been reading multifamily books and I always wanted to do that. I think the biggest shift was honestly the split that my business partner and I had. Not that he was holding me back. I don't want to make it sound like that. It's just that we are so laser focused on and so busy. Just overly busy on buying these, single family houses and flipping them and doing that kind of thing, that I just was distracted. Once we split, I knew I didn't want to keep on flipping anymore. And plus the market was shifting. Previously, it was super easy just to go find a single family house on the MLS and go flip it, right? I could find it. I could look at 20 deals on the MLS and buy two or three of them. No big deal. Then it started shifting to where I had to look at 100 or 200 deals just to buy one or two of them. And it was getting even harder to make the numbers work. So that really helped a lot too. That got me into the smaller buildings, but what got me into the bigger buildings is for the first time I paid somebody, and I paid a coach. He's more of a mindset coach. He doesn't coach on multifamily, just a business coach, and an excellent one at that. And he really helped me shift my mindset from, well, okay, you bought a 20 unit. Great. Well, let's go buy a 200 unit. What's the difference? There's no difference other than the amount of zeros. And so that really helped me shift my mind from going, I really honestly thinking small to being able to think, okay, yeah, what's holding me back from doing this? Mm. Meeting a few people along the way too. I met some people as I kind of just was shifting up that were doing bigger deals. And as I'm meeting them, I'm going, these guys aren't anything more special than me. It's not like they've got millions and millions and millions sitting in the bank. It's not like they're super, super smart. They're just normal, everyday people, and they've got thousands of units, and they've done it right. Mm. So I think that helped a lot, too.
What would you recommend for people that are trying to scale up to, we'll say, where you're at, to 20 units, 30 units, and possibly 15 above?
Yeah. Well, everybody's in a different spot, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's got a different beginning. So it depends on where you are in your journey. Certainly there's programs out there. There's educational learning, where you can purchase a course, hire a coach. Those definitely help accelerate you. Of course, there's podcasts like this one. Those definitely help you. There's bigger pockets. There's all kinds of stuff. I think no matter what you decide is your path, it's surrounding yourself with learning environments, with people, with learning environments, with mentors that can help get you to where you want to go. If you're always around people that have that positive mindset, around people that have done the type of deals that you want to do, it's just naturally going to allow you to shift your paradigm that much quicker and to get in the corridor. So I think that's the biggest thing. Is there's so many different ways to do it, but you somehow have to get surrounded by those types of people. Mm. So it really depends, hiring somebody, working for somebody, just getting around it.
I hear the term, people hear the term a lot, masterminds thrown around. Do you belong to any real estate mastermind groups or any mastermind groups outside real estate?
Yeah, I do. And funny you mentioned that. I'm actually starting my own mastermind community as well right now, because I think they're very powerful. It's great to be around people that are doing a lot of business or are in that same mindset as you are, right? Think of how many people you see in a day and how many people don't want to talk about real estate or know nothing about real estate. Yeah. If you can be around people that love and are passionate about real estate and about the niche that you are passionate about, so that whether that's multifamily or whatever it is, that's going to really help push you. And then there's a big accountability factor in there too with the mastermind. So yeah, I think masterminds are great. Like I said, I'm part of a mastermind and I'm starting a mastermind program as well.
I've done something similar myself. I created a digital mastermind meetup group and I started it through BiggerPockets. I mean, it wasn't the biggest success, but it allowed me to get my foot into the door into commercial real estate and to where I'm currently working at Boardwalk Wealth. So can you speak a little bit more about how are you going about starting your mastermind? Because I know people can hear this and take the notes from you and from myself and like, well, maybe I could start a mastermind. Like, how are you going about starting a mastermind?
Yeah, I mean, anybody can start a mastermind, but what do you have that you can bring to the table, I think is a huge thing. You know, how are you going to add value to that mastermind? So I think the founder needs to be able to add value. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the founder needs to have all the answers, but you need to make sure you can bring solid content and solid delivery and solid topics to talk about and then really be able to lead that conversation along the way. If you can't, then probably shouldn't be starting a mastermind. So for me, it's honestly just about putting that program together that really is going to deliver, in my opinion, the best results to those who are going to be in the mastermind group. I mean, I want to add true value. The goal of the mastermind group is to be able to achieve the goals. So first and foremost, I want to find out what the goals are of each individual in that mastermind group. We do a 1 hour, or we're planning on doing a 1 hour goal setting session individually with each individual person. So I'm going to be talking to everybody. We want it to be a smaller group. I think once you get much above, you know, our groups are planning on having 8 people. So once you get too much above that, it just gets kind of difficult for everybody to add enough value to it. You know, you end up getting 1 or 2 people that kind of take over and they're the ones that are getting the value. The rest of them are just sitting back and listening, which is great. But you can hear that in a podcast, right? You can hear that at a meetup, that type of thing. So we want to make sure everybody's truly involved and able to grow. And then, you know, we want to bring topics that are valid. We want to bring in guest speakers that really can provide excellent value, can fill any gaps that I or any of the other mastermind group is missing, you know. So those are I think some of the key ingredients, and you know, and then how I guess is through the network of people that I've had, if that's part of your question.
Yeah, no, that was great. Well, very cool. Yeah, I feel like you know, our guests have learned a lot of positive information as far as how to start a mastermind, how to begin to scale up your business, how to change your mindset and really go from doing single families to scaling up to 20 to 50 and start to get up to there to 100 units. I want to close it out with our final 3 questions we have. First question we have there for you is, what is your favorite book to regift?
Boy, there's a lot of books I really like. I'm going to go to How to Win Friends and Influence People, probably the book I really like the most.
Okay, good. Second question. If you were to give a TEDx talk, what would it be on and why?
I've never attended a TEDx talk, so I'm not quite sure if my
even better. I appreciate your answer even more.
You know, probably on how to scale a business, honestly. Yeah. How to scale and grow your business.
And why would you give it on that?
I think a lot of people just struggle with that. I struggle with it. It's difficult to go from, you know, anybody can, maybe not anybody, but most of us can figure out how do we start a sole proprietorship, right? How do we start something ourselves and be the worker in it? But then it takes a lot more to start hiring people, to start building systems and processes, and to really go from that something really small to creating something big, something powerful, something long lasting, something that can go on to the next generation, something that can work without you. So I think that's a big challenge. There's big hurdles for a lot of people to kind of figure out those next building blocks to get you along the way.
I think this might transition into question number three. What is a pain point or weakness you face right now in your business?
For sure, the scaling is definitely always challenging. How do I get to that next level? Who do I bring on? I think that's probably the hardest thing with scaling is who do you bring on and when? There's never a perfect time. So that's the thing that you got to get yourself beyond is it's never now. It's always should have been in the past, honestly. So bring people on maybe even before you're ready. You never want to probably grow too fast, but you still want to bring people on before you think you're ready because you're never going to feel completely ready. Maybe my biggest pain point is that scaling, you know, the continuing to grow and prosper.
What's the next level for you?
I want to have, you know, multifaceted business. You know, I want to have a business that continues to grow the multifamily syndication. So like I said, right now I've got about 550 units. I'd like to get to, you know, 5,000 plus units. So I'd like to easily 10x, if not way more than that. I'd like to build this mastermind program. I'd love to be hosting, you know, 3 to 5 different small mastermind groups. And then I've got, you know, I do some private coaching, continue to do that and grow that. You know, then the next level would be continuing to give back, but at a higher level. I enjoy right now. I've got a real estate conference I've got coming up in the fall. In September 20th, 21st, for people, it's in Minneapolis. And that's all the profits for that are going to go to charity. And that's just a passion of mine is being able to give back. And I'm grateful for what I've been able to achieve and what I've been given. So I want to be able to give back in any way I can. So that's the next level for me.
Love it. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you, Todd?
A couple ways. They can, of course, reach me on LinkedIn, Facebook if they want. I'm on BiggerPockets as well. They can also reach me through my website. The website is venturedproperties.com. So venture and then D as in Dexheimer, properties.com. And then my email is todd@venturedproperties.com.
Awesome. Very good. All right. I'll include all that in the show notes. Well, thank you very much for being on the show, Todd. We appreciate it. And we'll catch you on the next go round, my friend.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Real Estate Journeys, guys. Your support is greatly appreciated. And if you found this content to be enjoyable, valuable, or entertaining in any way, please head on over to iTunes, subscribe, leave a comment, and a 5-star review. Peace.